Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you notice, the sermon title is A Work in Progress. Maybe you already filled in the blank, or maybe you didn't. If the sermon gets too long, maybe that's something you can go back to and fill in. Or you can do it when you go home. Don't do it while you're driving home. That way, don't do that. You have to pay attention to the road. I thought of that after I looked at the gospel, and it's because I like that phrase, good to be here. There you go. I was thinking, what other words could we use to fill in that blank? And I put here first, so I did. When you said it, I said, that's where I went immediately, because it just sounded right. It sounded, that's what I would say, immediately, without thinking. Good to be here. But then I added some words, and maybe some of these words popped in your head just now, or they will pop in your head later, because I worked on this for 3 days. And I said, this is too long of a list. I'll never get to the sermon. But I just have a few I'm going to just pull in and put out there. Good to be loved. Good to be chosen. Good to be welcomed. Good to be hugged. Good to be enlightened. Good to be taught. Good to be together. Good to be held. Good to be ready. Good to be thankful. Good to be remembered. Good to be graced. Good to be Christ-like. That was my last one because I read a devotion that emphasized being Christ-like. And I says, okay, I'll put that in there. Good to be Christ-like. I got it from someone else. Good to be here. That's what Peter said. And I guess James and John didn't disagree because they didn't have something else to say. It was an experience that lifted them up. It was an experience that exalted them, astonished them, surprised them, amazed them. And this event that you can't forget. Powerful. There you go. Powerful. So I looked up the word transfiguration from the dictionary. A change in form or appearance, and also an exalting, glorifying, or spiritual change. Now, transfigure. To give a new and typically exalted or spiritual appearance to. Transform outwardly and usually for the better. So who comes to my mind when someone is transformed? I go right to the Bible. That Saul who had the list to go persecute Christians in Damascus, zealous for the Lord to do the right thing, and then he met Jesus. And after that, transformed. And his name was changed to Paul. And he was zealous to get the message out to anybody who would listen to the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ, died and rose from the dead. What also came to my mind was those who go to meetings such as NA or AA or OA or Al-Anon, people's lives are transformed in that meeting place by a higher power, and for some they call it God. And they learn to get rid of the bad habits and start picking up on the good habits, and their life changes. It's transformed or transfigured. With the help of the higher power and that support group in that meeting place. Another thought came to my mind. As pastor of St. David's in Philadelphia, we would go on a retreat in October. We go to Wildwood because they have a Luther Inn. And I said, boy, that's got to be a good place. It's Lutheran. Luther Inn, it's got to be a good place. And of course, it's down by the shore. And we were able to invite anybody, even people who are not members of the church, to come and join us, if not for 3 days, or a day, to spend some time to study God's word, to share fellowship, to pray, and yes, sing songs around the campfire. There is no campfire at Luther Inn. We brought our own wood and our own vessel to place the wood in there and brought our marshmallows and sang our songs. And when we left the retreat, Carol says, I don't wash my clothes for a week. I love the smell of that smoke at the retreat. It reminds me of my times at youth camp up in the Poconos. And she says, I love it. She even bought candles that smell like smoke to remind her of that experience on the retreat. Another experience of transformation for me was to go to Lutheran gatherings throughout the United States and New Orleans or St. Louis or in Dallas and Atlanta. And boy, when you get caught up with the youth and you get surrounded by a group of Lutherans singing and hearing the word of God and hearing bands that express Christian stories and experiences, you're elevated. At least I was. And so was the youth. We're not the same after we leave that event. Now, I mentioned earlier of my three blessings that I'm thankful for. And I mentioned placemats. I take pictures of places that I go, but I really found it a really joy that some pictures are better than the ones I take when they're on placemats. And you can buy them. And so when I came across this Tabor, Mount Tabor of the Transfiguration, I was thrilled. And I still have it. That's even more thrilling. And I recall being at Mount Carmel where Elijah was and fighting against those who believed in Baal and not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that prophet reminded that this is the only true God of Israel. So the placemats also then triggered my effort to bring placemats in the church worship. You can buy a placemat for Christmas Eve, and a placemat for Easter, and a placemat for Thanksgiving. And on that Thanksgiving placemat, there would be prayers, hymns, scripture, artwork, and I would use it as a bulletin, and then I say, go home and use it at the table when you have Thanksgiving with your family and with your friends, and use the prayer and sing the hymn. The one that sticks to my mind is a very memorable and also elevating event. Was taking it with me to the family Thanksgiving, where the matriarch was present. Her name is Lenore, and she couldn't talk anymore because of the advancement of Alzheimer's. So when we sat around the table, I started off with the prayer, and then I sang the hymn that was printed there. This is my father's world, and to my listening ears. And Lenore started singing right away and knew all the verses. And everybody around that table was amazed and astonished that she's singing. I said to myself, this is truly a gift from God to give thanks. I wasn't expecting that. I don't think anybody at the table was expecting that. And after we finished, she remained quiet for the rest of the day. No longer singing or speaking. But that's the moment I was transformed and transfigured by her singing. A hymn that she learned from Sunday school way back. And it resurfaced at a time when we came together to give thanks to God for all the gifts of life and the gifts that God gives to us through His love. Good to be here. Good to be thankful. Good to be loved. Good to be transformed. Jesus, Peter, James, and John, brothers, gathered at that mountain. And Jesus changed before them. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared. Moses representing the law, God's word. Elijah representing the prophets who spoke God's word. Always reminding the people to follow God's way. God's truth, God's gift of life. But then Jesus, in that conversation with Elijah and Moses, Peter speaks. It's good to be here, Lord. I think he wanted to show hospitality and provide a place of shelter for Jesus and Moses and Elijah, a place to stay and continue the retreat, the spiritual gathering. And then out comes that voice from a cloud, because I've been on a mountain one or two, and you can't see when the clouds come, and you don't know if you're still on the mountaintop. This is my beloved Son, in who I am well pleased. Listen to him. And down they went, right to the dirt. What is going on? And the only one who could take away that fear and bring them back from the earth, from that state of shock, was Jesus. The first thing he did was touch them. It's good to be hugged. It's good to be held. And then said, do not be afraid. And then Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. The festival of St. Matthias is tomorrow. And I remember reading a devotion, and there was one line that stuck out in my reading of that devotion years ago. We are the result of what God did on Easter. We are the result of what God did on Easter. This story of the transfiguration is the result of what God did on Easter. No longer a secret. It's told for you, for me, and for all who want to hear what God offers to us. We have a place with God in Jesus Christ. We belong together as the children of God. Through the love of Christ. I came across another story written by a pastor, James Sloan Coffin, and they kept a lot of his sermons and wrote excerpts of those sermons in the book called Credo, I Believe. And I think this one excerpt focuses on transfiguration. Jesus is both a mirror to our humanity and a window to divinity. A window revealing as much of God as is given mortal eyes to see. When Christians see Christ empowering the weak, scorning the powerful, healing the wounded, and judging their tormentors, we are seeing transparently the power of God at work. What is finally important is not that Christ is God-like, but that God is Christ-like. God is Christ-like. That's what we need to know, isn't it? Then we know how to pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gives us the right and confidence to pray the way we do. And in closing, a book of prayers of reformers, John Calvin's prayer. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, since you have appeared in the person of your only begotten Son and have revealed him in your glory made visible, and since you show us the same Christ through the window of the gospel, grant that I, fixing my eyes on him, may not go astray, nor be led here or there after evil lies, the misleading of Satan and the allurements of the world. Instead, may I continue firm in the obedience of faith and persevere in it through the whole course of my life, until I am at last transformed into the image of your eternal glory, which now in part shines in me through the same Christ our Lord. And let the church say, Amen.